I should put that back up.
She got sick here.
Okay.
He comes in off.
Yeah.
Are we all testing out, folks?
I got a couple of
that.
That's funny.
Hey.
We left off last week on the pay base, on the days, on the top of that 8 lines from the top. Just to review again, we're learning Perakos of Yezbeno. All the animals are divided. The animals that we're working with here, we're not talking about fish. All the animals are divided into three categories. There's Oifas and Behemoth and Chayas. And the Din of Osve Yezbeno, those Tish Chatuk Yemechod, only applies to Shechita. If you shoot them, it doesn't apply. Only applies to Behemoth. Doesn't apply to Chayas, and it doesn't apply to Oifas. And it does make a difference whether you shecht first the mother and then the Vlad, or you shecht first the Vlad and then the mother. And one who violates Osibis gets Malkus. Whoever violates an Avera that's similar to the Sachsim Shor B'dishoi gets Malkus, because in Chumash, Devarim, we darsh and smuchim, when you have two psukim that are next to each other, and you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's considered a hekesh. We assume that there's a connection in halacha. When you have two psukim, one next to each other, that's not a, that's a question whether you treat it like a hekesh or not. That's called smuchim. So that's a machloikas hatanoi. And the psak hamakubal is that only chumash dvarim. Chumash dvarim is different from the other four chumashim. Only chumash dvarim with darsh and smuchim. So there are many, many, many very famous dinim, very famous drushes that are based on smuchim, and this is one of them. That the guiding principle is going to come up in the Gemara soon. The guiding principle to determine who gets Malkus, who doesn't get Malkus, is if the Avera is similar to Losachsim Shabbadishai, because the two psukim are next to each other. It says if the Bezn ascertains that someone is a Rasha, so they give him Malkus. Who, how do they ascertain someone's a Rasha? What did he do? So the answer is, that pasuk is right next to the pasuk L'Sachsim Shabbadishai. So whoever violates an Avera that's Dumya, similar to L'Sachsim Shabbadishai, is going to get Malkus. So for example, we pass an aloha that Alav She'ein Bo Maisa, if a person violates an Avera by acting passively, he doesn't do anything, Bikum V'Yaseh at all. Like L'Sasirim Emenu Adboikeh, he's supposed to bring a Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach, and see to it that everything is eaten up a laila. You're not allowed to leave off anything from the Korban Pesach till the morning. Korban Pesach is unusual. It's a Kochim Kalim. Normally a Kochim Kalim, all the Korbanos are divided into two categories, Kochim Kadoshim and Kochim Kalim. So Kochim Kalim, the basic Kochim Kalim is Shlomim. So it should really be Nechal Shnei Yamim V'Laila Echad. So Korban Pesach has an exception to the rule. It's only a Nechal. It's not even Nechal Bayom, only Nechal Balayla, only Nechal Balayla. You can't leave it over till the morning, and whoever leaves it over till the morning violated the Avera of Los Hasirim Emenu Adbarket. But Paskin, there's no Malkus because for two reasons. But we accept both reasons. The Gemara quotes the Machlokes Hatanoim. They both say there's no Malkus if you leave over the Korban Pesach, but for different reasons. So one reason I give is that it's a Lav Shem or Maise. You violated Los Yisirim and Adboike without doing an action. You violated it passively. Then there's another reason. We accept also all the second reason also. The only time you get Malkus is if you violated an Avera, and after you did the Avera, the Torah doesn't prescribe what you're supposed to do in the next step. Here the Torah says Los Yisirim and Adboike. So that's what we call a lav hanita kleese. You violated an Avera. And then the Torah says, if you violated that Avera, the next thing you have to do is to fulfill a certain mitzvah. Another example is, Loisigzol, the Torah says you're not allowed to steal. And then if you did steal, the Heshav Sakzeh Lashagozol, you should return the Gzeh. So the Gemara says you never get malchus for stealing because it's alav anita klase.
Rabbi, how could the Gemara in Bo Metzia has some disgusting when it's talking about losachsom? It has certain situations that it has ibayis on, like for example, you bring a lion in front of the animal and it scares it. So if losachsom is only by definition something that has a mitzvah, then how does the Gemara even have havaminas that those would be chasim?
The normal way to violate to losachsom shabadish is by doing a mitzvah. Then the Gemara is not sure. But if he did the chasima, that's he screams at the animal, right, and he scares the animal. Chasama bekol. So that's a machlekes of Yechon Rav Shlokish, whether he gets malchus or not. That should be the galab sheim bo ma'isa. That's we paskin that there is malchus, and that's a question. Why dibur screaming? Dibur should be a lab sheim bo ma'isa. That's a whole discussion. Tosfos and the Rambam. Why? Why do we paskin that there is malchus? So this is.
Shloch Akan also. It's like
zeila. Shloch Akan also. Right. In the end of the Masechta. The din is lasika chayim al abanim. It says when you're walking on the highway, ki kori kan sipa lefanecha badech. If you're walking on the highway and you see that there's a nest with a mother bird sitting on top of the chicks, or sitting on top of the eggs that didn't yet hatch, so there's a lav and aver lasika chayim al abanim. You're not allowed to take the mother together with the chicks with the eggs. And if you did do it. So then we pask, and there's a machlek satanam, we pask that it's a lava nita klase. If you went ahead and you took the aim ala bottom, the mother, together with the chicks, so then the Torah says, shalech nishalach hazaim, send away the mother. Later, it's also an example of lava nita klase. Whenever there's lava nita klase. Another example is the Torah says, you're not allowed to, if you make a loan, you're not allowed to charge interest. And if you did charge interest, the Gemara says, you don't get malchus, because there's a din deraisa, that ribis katzutz or yotze b'dayonim. Yimchuyev, the Torah says you shouldn't take interest. Vechei achicha imach. So the Ramban writes in the Sefer Mitzvahs, Vechei achicha imach is one of the 248 mitzvahs I say. Means if you did the Averav, taking interest, the way to be Mesakan Avera, the next step you should do just like, similar to Vehesha v'sagzei lasher gozal, so similar to that is, you should return the interest that you took to the other fellow. And the Rambam didn't count it as a mitzvah, so I say, v'chei-chei-chei-mach. So the standard commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, La Rambam, who always comes to defend the Rambam, is the Megillas Esther. He lived in the early 1600s, I think. So he comes to defend the Rambam. Why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah, v'chei-chei-chei-mach? The Gemara says that it's a lav anita glass. If you took ribbis, it's a mitzvah to give back the ribbis. Ribbis katsutza yotze b'dayonim. So he says, the Rambam holds that it's one and the same with Vehesha v'sagzeilu. The Rambam already counted Vehesha v'sagzeilu. So this is identical to Vehesha v'sagzeilu. So that's very questionable whether that's correct or not. It is correct that it's a lav anita glase. But that's very questionable. Is it really Vehesha v'sagzeilu? If I lend you $1,000 and I charge interest, so that means I'm in violation of gzeilu? That the interest that I take, I'm not kaina. And if let's say you give me back the $1,000 and then you give me back the $100, the extra interest, I'm charging a 10% interest. So you say, here's the $1,000 check and here's another $100. This is the ribbis. So if I'm going to take the $100, which is ribbis, I'll be mekadosh and isha. We'll say that it's like a gzeila. I'm not kaina, it's a gzeila. And the mitzvah to give it back is basically v'eshev is a gzeila. So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the two opinions. The more accepted opinion is that it's not gzeila. More accepted opinion is that if I lend you $1,000 and I charge interest, if I charge interest to a non-Jew, it would be permissible, and I would acquire the ownership of the interest. But charge to a Jew, it's also legitimate, but it's an avera because the Jewish people are supposed to act as if we're one big club. The word ribbis is the same letters as bris. The Avnei Nezer has a long section in his Sefer, Shadus HaTshuvos, but it's not really Shadus HaTshuvos. This section, all of the other Svarim of Shadus HaTshuvos, the section on Ribbis is practically a running commentary, sif by sif, on Yerodei Hilchas Ribbis. And he calls this section, with a separate title, it's called Bris Achim, the covenant or the club of the fraternity of the Jewish people. That we're not supposed to charge interest to each other, but it's not that it's Gzeila. And if you'll be Mekadosh and Isha, with the $100, with the extra $100 that he gave me, she will be mekudeshes. I'm kind of the money. I did an avera, but I was kind of the money, and it's a mitzvah. I should pay him back. I don't have to give him back dafka the same cash. If I steal $100 from you, so there's a din. Hey, $100 doesn't belong to me. I can't take it and give you back a different $100. I have to give you back. If I still have it, I have to give you back the same money, because it doesn't belong to me. But by the ribbis, the pashtus is, there is no such halacha that it doesn't belong to me. Anyway, so there are several examples of lav anita klase. Then there's a third rule, that's a machlekes, and this sugya, this is really an introduction to the whole sugya. The Gemara has, in order to give malchus, in order to give misa, and einish aguf, you have to have a hasra. The person has to have violated the avera, and he has to have a hasra. Let's say, in order to pay knas, a ganef steals when no one is watching. A gazlan comes up, punches me in the face, and he steals my money. And a ganef steals when a pickpocket, he steals when I don't realize that he's stealing. So the ganef is more punished than the gazlan, the Gemara says. Because the gazlan is not afraid of man, is not afraid of God. The ganef shows that he's afraid of man, but he's not afraid that a Ribbono Shel Olam is watching. He's not afraid of him. So because the ganef is more afraid of man than he is of God, so that's why the Torah punishes the ganef more. The ganef pays kefil. The gazlan does not pay kefil. And if the ganef stole shor v'seh, v'tovach or mochar, he shechts it or he sells it, then not only does he pay care of the kefil, he pays chamisha boker sham tachas hashor, v'arba tzon tachas haseh. He pays dollar day. He pays the care of the kefil, and another two times, another three times more. So the din is that in order for Ganef to pay kefil, he doesn't have to have violated any avera. Let's say he didn't realize he violated b'shogeg. He didn't realize that it's prohibited to do gneiva. No, it doesn't matter. He didn't realize. You don't need hasra. You don't have to ascertain that he did an avera. If he stole b'shogeg, some are even of the opinion that if he thought that he was entitled to the money, really b'shogeg, not b'shogeg, he thought it's mutter to steal. Really b'shogeg, he thought that this was his money, and he took it, and he spent it. So some rishonim learn on the Mishnah Bava Kama, even in such a case, he has a din of a ganef, and he pays kefil. But in order to get an oinish aguf, in order to get misa or malchus, there you need a hasra. So the Gemara is going to have a machlekes hatanoim, and a machlekes amaran, which opinion of the tanoim should be accepted. Once in a while you have it like that, a machlekes hatanoim is identical with a machlekes amaran, is identical with the machlekes hatanoim, which tana the paskan like. So here there's a machlekes, what if you gave the fellow hasra for the purpose of leading up to misa, to malchus, and the hasra was besofik. At the time that we warned them, it wasn't so clear. We learned the Gemara already before about hasra sofik. No, and that pay aleph and ben aleph. There was one opinion in the Gemara that shchitas kochim. There were three opinions about this topic. One opinion was that shchitas kochim, since at the time that you shecht it, it's also bachila. It only becomes mut bachila after you do this rikas hadam on the mizbeach. Cause man, you didn't do this rikas hadam. There's a lav lo sochlu al hadam. So the Gemara has different interpretations of that pasuk, and they're all dinim deraisa. So one pshat in the pasuk, lo sochlu al hadam, you're not allowed to eat the carbon before you do this rikas hadam. So when you shech the carbon, if you shech the carbon oil, so no one's allowed to eat it. That's called shchita sheni ruya. But if you shech the chatas and osham, a shlomim, a carbon pesach, a carbon that is nechal, at the time you shecht it, you're not allowed to eat it until you do this rikas hadam. So one opinion in the Gemara, the first opinion in the Gemara was that shchita skotchim is always labeled as shchita sheni ruya, because at the time of the shchita, there's no heter achila. Later on, it'll become mutav achila. That doesn't help. The other opinion was in this sugya payalav we learned it 2 weeks ago. The other opinion sugya was it's mitli tola v'koy. If you shech the carbon and later on it does lead up to the zrikas adam, so then it turns out that it was a shchita haruya. The shchita led up to a heter achila. If you do the shchita and then later on you don't do the zrikas adam, so then it'll be a shchita sheniruya, like shooting the animal. So that's what the Gemara said. Let's say I shechted also his bino. I shechted a beim already, the oso, and then the bino is a carbon. And then at the time that someone is shechting the bino in the azara, carbon is supposed to shechted in Beis Hamikdash, they warn him, don't do the shechita. It may turn out that someone will do this rikas adam, a kohen, will do the Zirkas Adam, and it'll turn out that it's a Shechita Haruya. Yeah, but we don't know yet. At the time of Shechita, you don't know, will it lead up to a Zirkas Adam or not? So the Gemara said, that's a Hasra Sofik. So that's a Machlaika Satanoim, and that's a Machlaika Biachan Rishal, a Machlaika Satanoim, and a Machlaika Samaraim. Whether you say Hasra Sofik Shmo Hasra, or Hasra Sofik Lav Shmo Hasra. So the Gemara introduces this also by the fellow who leaves over the Korban Pesach. He finishes the whole Seder at 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock at night, and then he has all the arbicosis, and then he said, but you left over flesh, you got to eat the rest of the Korban Pesach. If you don't eat it, you'll be in violation of the law. He says, I got plenty of time, you can leave it till Alois HaShach, he's going to eat it later. Then they come back again at 2 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, he say, hurry up, eat the kosher. I got plenty of time. It's not Alois HaShachia. Every time they want him, he says, there's plenty of time left. He's going to eat it later. He's going to eat it later. Then it turns out he didn't eat it the whole night long. So every time they gave him a hasra, it was really hasra sofik. It wasn't clear what's going to be later. Will he eat it in the next hour? Will he not eat it? So there are really three reasons. We pasken l'alacha. One who leaves over Bisar HaPesach till the morning is clearly a violation of the law of the Sirim Men HaBoiker. But it's ain't a loike for three different reasons. One reason because a lab shame but my saying loike molov, that's a machloike satanoim and a machloike samaroim, and we pass la loche that it's not dumi the lab da chasima, that it's a lab shame but my saying loike molov. Second reason is because.
Can you give him masvol a minute before I let
the Oh. So that's a little unclear. How come? Why does the Gemara say that it's always going to be a Hasra Sofik? If they give Hasra the last minute, it should be Hasra Zvadai. So unless you say you have to give Hasra earlier, you have to give Hasra. The Hasra the last minute is no good. You have to give Hasra from the whole night's leading over. It's unclear. Why wouldn't you have a case? But we'll be asked to us about that.
Some Rishonim just say in Makos on Tezvot that it's just impractical, like it's impossible that you'd be able to do it.
It's impossible to figure out
right
the second
like
last moment.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Like practically, okay. It's impossible.
Okay. So we assume la locha that the one who leaves over the Besara Pesach is ain't a loike for all three reasons. The Gemara, each Tana, each Amara gives a different reason. One reason is lab shema maise. One reason is that it's a lab anita klasei, because after you leave over the Besara Pesach, it's a mitzvah to burn it. Then the third reason why you ain't a loike is because we consider it hasra sofik. Whenever they're going to give the hasra, it's going to be hasra sofik. The Gemara is going to put together the need for hasra by malchus and by miso. You need hasra by knas. You don't need that he should do the avera. He doesn't have to be b'mezid. Even if he did, you don't even, Tosfos points out, you don't even have to have the person violate a law. We have a klal ein onshim elam kei mazirim. Usually in school, a teacher says, "We're not going to punish you unless we warn you in advance." Ein onshim kei mazirim. That's not what it means. Hasroas are different, and you have to have hasroa. Ein onshim kei mazirim means you don't give an oinish aguf or misa malchus elam kei mazirim unless the person violated a loisese, unless he violated an azora. If he only violated an essay, so the Gemara says azora sesi lapsh mazora. That's not called mazirim. Masirim means that he violated a loisese. So in order to give malchus a misa, there's a rule you have to have hasra. So the Gemara is going to discuss hasra sofik by misa and by malchus. See, by Yosef Ezbeno, if the second korban, if the second animal that you're shechting in the same day is a korban, so then the Gemara said that it's hasra sofik. It may lead up to zrika, it may not lead up to zrika. So at the time that he does the shechita, it's not clear when it's going to lead up to the Zrika. That was the one opinion. There are three different opinions. First opinion was, since at the time of the Shechita, the Korban is also Bachila, the Shechita's Korbanus is always called Shechita Sheni Ruya. Second opinion in the Gemara was, it's Hasra Sofik. If it leads up to Zrika, then it turns out it was a Shechita Ruya. If it doesn't lead up to Zrika Sadam, it turns out it's not a Shechita Ruya. Then the third opinion was, that when you do the Shechita HaKorban, it's always called Shechita Haruya, because it's going to be Korib HaGabi HaMizbeach. That's called Achila. You don't need that it should lead up to Achila Sodom. If it's going to lead up to HaKorob HaKtoris Eimurim, it's also called the Shechita Haruya. Those were the three opinions in the previous Sugya. So getting back again to our Sugya, the Mishnah has this Chiddush thing on Pei Beis Amir Aleph. Let's say you check Osovi as Bino. What about Bnei Bonim? say bnei banim harein kevanim. Let's say ashecht the grandmother, then ashecht the grandchild. Behemoths, not human beings. So the Mishnah says you're not like it. You're not like it. So the Mishnah has a, sets up the case like this. Someone shechted the grandmother. It doesn't matter. One person, two people, three people. It doesn't have to be the same person. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Lois ishchatu in the plural, even if you have a few people involved. So one person shechts the grandmother. One person shechts the grandchild. So far, there's no avera. Mm-hmm. Then someone, the same person, another person shechts the middle generation. So he violated Osves Beno twice. Because the middle one is mitzarf with the mother, and it's mitzarf with its own blood. So you have a double Osves Beno. So the Mishnah has, that's a machlokes satanoim, whether he's like it once or he's like it twice. Sumchis is a Tana. Sumchis was a student of Rav Meir. The Mark Kedushin tells that when Rav Meir passed away, Rav Yudah was still alive. So the Talmidim of Rav Meir, the second best, they'll go learn by Rav Yudah. Because my Rav Meir was alive, they wanted to learn by him. When he passed away, they came to learn by Rav Yudah. So Rav Yudah didn't want the students of Rav Meir because they were trained in a different style of learning. The troublemakers. So he said he didn't allow any of them to come to his shiur. And Sumchis snuck into the shiur without permission. And he started hacking. He started disagreeing with Rav Yudah. So Rav Yudah said, throw him out. He's a Talmud of Rav Meir, and he's going to just to Dreyakov. But he's a star student of Rav Meir. So Sumchis says, his name Rav Meir. In that case, you get double malchus. So let's say like this. You shecht the mother, then five different people shecht five different vladis. So each one gets malchus, because each one of the five vladis is mitzarif with the mother. But what if five different people, and one person shechts the five vladis, and then somebody shechts the mother afterwards? So do you get five times malchus for shechting the mother? Because the mother is mitzarif to five different vladis. You get five times malchus, then you get once malchus. So that's a machlok, is Sumchis and the Chachamim. So Sumchis claims the name Rav Meir, he heard from Meir, and in such a case, get five times malchus. And we don't pass him like that, we pass him like the Chachamim. Tanakama. So the Gemara tells a story over here, that's where we just started last week. Omalei Abai L'Rav Yosef. This is after the Andaf Pei Beis, on the days, about the seventh, eighth line from the top. The Gemara quotes a caption from the Mishnah. And Abai was a student. Abai Rav was students of Rabbi Yosef. He mentioned a lot of times Rabbi Yosef says something, and Abai argues with him as a student. He argues very often. We often paskin like Abai in his disagreement with Rabbi Yosef a lot of times. So here Abai asks Rabbi Yosef, "What's the point of disagreement between Sumchis and the Chachamim? Sumchis only disagrees over here." Because when you shecht the mother, you shecht first the five lotus, then you shecht the mother, so you're in violation of five times those who has been up. That's why you like it five times. Even though it's only one mice. So the Gemara calls it guf and mechlokim. What does it mean, guf and mechlokim? Guf and mechlokim is an expression that appears, the original source is by Korban Chatos. The Gemara makes a parallel here between getting many times malchus for repeating the same aver many times, being mechuyev several times a korban chatos. What's the rule? Who's chayv a korban chatos? One who does an aver b'shoigeg, which if he would have violated the aver b'mezid, he would have been chayv kares. So if he violates aver b'shoigeg, then he's chayv chatos. So let's say the fella ate in a kosher restaurant, and after he finishes eating this delicious steak, the waiter runs in and he says, "I made a mistake. We forgot to cut out the chalev." And it turns out that he had three kazesim of chalev on that steak that he had. So he ate, if he would have eaten one kazais of chalev, the mezid, he would have been chayv kares. So if he eats one kazais b'shoigeg, he's chayv chatos. But he ate three kazesim. So is he chayv three chatos? So the Mishnah says, and Mishnah doesn't quote any makloikas, Mishnah says in Krisis that you're not chayv three chatos, because it was all behelem echod. It was all in one session. If he ate in one restaurant, and then the waiter runs out and he says, "We made a mistake, we gave you the chalev," and then he eats it, so he boycotts that restaurant, he's never going to eat there again. Goes to a different restaurant. Next week he eats in a different restaurant. Then weiter, the waiter in the other restaurant runs out, he says, "We made a mistake, we gave you chalev." Then he boycotts that restaurant, he goes to a third restaurant, same thing happens. Then he's chayv three times chatos, because each one had a separate halama. He ate in the first restaurant, then he found out that they served him chalev. He eats in the second restaurant, then he has a yediyah. Each time he has a yediyah. So that's called three different halomas. So if he eats three kezesim and three different halomis, then he chayv three chatos. Let's say he eats in the restaurant one meal, and it turns out that the drink that they gave him with the ice cubes was dam. He had a kezayis of dam. The Rambam says the shiva's kezayis, not rezias. So he ate chaylev and he ate dam. So chaylev and dam is two shemus machlokin. It's a different isa. There's an isa chaylev, there's an isa dam. Let's say, and it's a restaurant on Pesach, and they gave him matzahs, and it turns out that they were chametz dikah matzahs. They weren't Pesach dikah matzahs. They gave him real chametz. So there are three different isurim of Kores. One is chametz, and one is chaylev, and one is dam. So it's a shemus machlokin, so you chayv three chatos, even though everything was behel mechod. So let's say his wife went to mikveh and the mikveh wasn't kosher. The one in charge, the lady in charge of the mikveh, forgot to make the hashokah. So the people who were tefillin in the mikveh, they thought that it was a good tefillin in the mikveh. Turns out that tefillin was no good. And the man and his wife violated the iser of taras hamishpacha several times. But it was all behel mechad. When he finally finds out, he finds out that he violated the din of Isa Nido. Isa Nido is an Isa Kores. So if he violated B'shogeg Yechayv Chatos, so he violated several times, it's all behel mechad, he only brings one Chatos. What if he has a few wives? and all of the wives didn't go, all of the wives went to the same Pasul HaMikveh, and then it turns out that he violated the din of Nido, Lebailo, four different times under four different wives. So then the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that's Gufa Machlokin. The four wives are each Chayva Karbin Chatas. So from the perspective of the women, we consider it four different Averas. It's not considered one big Avera. Four different people violated, so it's four different Averas. So even though from his perspective, it shouldn't be considered one big Avera. He repeated the same Avera, Baal Isha Nido, the Helem Echad. He violated the same Avera many times. I should really consider it. It was all the Helem Echad. You should say he's only Chayv one Chatos. The Mishnah says, no, it's Guf and Mechlokim. Since from the perspective of the other person, from the perspective of the Isha, the four different women, and each woman is Chayv a Chatos, even from his perspective, also Chayv. So that's called Guf and Mechlokim. So here, let's say not that case. Let's say someone is Shechting a Behema Labadizar. He thought that's what the Rabbanu Shalom wanted. He thought the Rabbanu Shalom wants to have an assistant God, and we should bring karbanos to the assistant. Yoshke Chetz. A Jew was brought up in a Christian country, and he believes in the invisible God in heaven. He believes in the Son, the Father and the Son. He didn't know that's Avodah Zarah. He thought Avodah Zarah is only if you don't worship the invisible God. But if you have an assistant God, you bring karbanos, that's okay. And then he finds out that he did wrong. So let's say he shechts many karbanos to the same Avodah Zarah. All behel mechad, he didn't know. Is that called Gufa Mechlokin? Because they're four different behemoths. So the Rambam says, no, Gufa Mechlokin is only if they're people. If they're behemoths, or let's say he worships this pesel, that pesel, another tzelem, he worships four different getchkes. He believes that each one is a deity. This one is a deity in charge of parnasa. This is a deity in charge of weather. This one is a deity in charge of good health and so on. Each deity is in charge of, they divide, it's a board of directors over here, and each deity is in charge of something else in the world, and he worships all of them. So that's not called Gufa Machlokin. Gufa Machlokin is if the four different women, Ishta Nida, four different women, from the perspective of the women, the Chayv four Chatos, because each one is a different person. So since from the perspective of the women, it's four Averas, even from the perspective of the man, I should say he repeated the same Avera four times, Be'el HaMechad, should only be Chayv one Chatos, we say, no, it's Guf Machlok. So here the Gemara uses the Losh Guf Machlokin, it's a Melitza. It doesn't mean the same as what it means over there, Guf Machlokin, that is Bol Chamish Noshim Nidos, Be'el HaMechad. Here Abaye asks the Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, Amalai Abaye, the Rabbi Yosef, my time of the Simchas. Why does Simchas say that if he shechts the grandmother and the grandchild, and then he shechts the middle generation, according to Rebbe Meir, you like it twice, or if you shecht the five lotus first, then you shecht the mother afterwards, you get five times Malkus. Why is that? Is he of the opinion? Does he disagree with the whole premise in Maseches Krisis? The premise over there is that if the person repeats the same Aver, Be'el HaMechad, he's only Chayv one Chatos. You're not Chayv two Chatos. whatever you did, behind the mechad, is only chayv one chatas. And the Gemara is making an equation between the two. He mentioned last week, the Ran and the Dorn makes that equation. He just took it from this Gemara. The Gemara makes an equation. Whether you get Malkus many times is similar to the issue whether you chayv chatas many times. So if it's all the Hasra Achas, then we consider it one big Aveira, even though he ate one Kazais, another Kazais, another Kazais. It's all but one Hasra. Unless there was Hasra in between the first Kazais and the second Kazais, another Hasra between the second Kazais and the third Kazais, then it's considered separate Aveiras. So that's what Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef. Sumchas in the Mishnah is talking about Malkus, so Abaye raises a question. There's a parallelism over here. There's a hashvah between being chayv many times malchus and chayv many times chatos. So does sumchus deny the whole principle that you only chayv one chatos if you repeat the same aver behelam echod? So he would disagree over there also. He also said you chayv many times malchus even though you just repeated the exact same aver with one hasra. Kosova sumchus questioned, does he think ochal shnei zeisel chayv behelam echod chayv shtei chatos? So how come it's not mentioned in Shas anywhere? How come in Krisas it never says, Ubedinu, by right, the Mishnah should really, the Lashmina B'Alma, the Mishnah should record this, Sumchas's opinion, and Krisas, where the main sugi is. Why does the Mishnah only quote Sumchas over here? Should he quote Sumchas and Krisas with the main discussion? No, Lord, the Echad Kercha de Rabbanan. Because there's room to argue over here. The Tanakama disagrees with Sumchas and holds you not chayv two chatos. Even though one could have argued the point and said that it's similar to Guf and Machlokin. It isn't Guf and Machlokin. One could have argued it is similar because this, when Ashech the grandmother and the granddaughter, then Ashech the middle one, so the middle one is Mitztaref with its mother and with its blood. So I created two pairs. The prohibition of Osir Lezmanon is not just the Shech, the second one. It comes out that you clinched it, you caused a tzirah for both to be Nishchat B'yay Mechot. Why does the Mishnah record Simchas only here by Malkas Ladecha Kercha de Rabbanon to tell you the Chiddush? You know, we don't pass like Simchas, we pass like the Chachamim. So it tells you the Chiddush La'alocha that what? Da'af agab the Guf and Machlokin, even though one could argue the point and say it's not Guf and Machlokin. One could have argued the point and said that it's similar to Guf Machlokin. Still, Patri Rabbanon, they say you're not chayv many times. Not Patri Rapater. You're not chayv more than once Malkus. Once Malkus, you do get. But they pater you from the second Malkus. You don't get five times Malkus. If you shechted the five lotus, then you shecht the mother. So Simcha says, by shechting the mother, you created five pairs of Osvez Mero. So you get five times Malkus. So the Chachamim could have held like that and said Guf Machlokin. And they don't. Still Patri Rabbanon. Is that the reason for Simchas? Or Dilma, no. Kasava Simchas, Ochash Neizesa, B'chelem Echad, Enoch Haib Elachas. No, maybe Simchas agrees with the Mishnayis and Krisis that if the person violated the same Avera many times, B'shegeg, B'chelem Echad, is only Chayv one Chattas. And Simchas agrees over here also. If you repeat the same Avera with one Hasra, you only get one Smalkas. The only reason why Simchas disagrees over here, because when you shech the second generation after the first and the third, so the second generation is mitztaref with the first, but not with the third one's considered as if it's similar to Guf Machlok, and it isn't really similar to the Guf Machlok. That was the Shad. So the Talmud, Abaye, asks us of his Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef, what's the reason for Simchas? Amalei, so the Rebbe answers him, yes, and Kasava Simchas is of the startling opinion against the whole of Mishnais and Krisis. Yes, Simchas disagrees with the basic premise in the whole Masechas Krisis. Wow, that's a Chiddush. The Gemara says, Mimai, how does, and Rabbi Yosef says, how do I know that it's so? Because he has a Braisa. This is not a Mishnah anywhere, this is a Braisa. That's what it says on the margin on the left side. This Nan would have been implied that it's a Mishnah. This is not a Mishnah. The Tanya is the way you introduce a Braisa. Sometimes you introduce a Braisa Tan Rabbanon, sometimes you introduce a Braisa Tanya, and sometimes you introduce a Braisa Tono. So the Balamor talks in Chulin. What's the difference, Taka? This is Chulin. The end of Chulin, the Balamor explains each term is a technical term. It's a different kind of a Braisa. Anyway, but this is not a Mishnah, this is a price. So we have a strange price that it says, Hazareh klaim klaim loike. If a person plants klaim klaim, he gets malka. So the Gemara says, my loike. What do you mean he gets malka? It's a pasuk in the Chumash. Karma chalas is ra kilaim. You're not allowed to plant kilaim. There's another pasuk, sot chalas is ra kilaim. We spoke about it. So the pasuk pshat is that two prohibitions. One prohibition, you're not allowed to throw two vegetables in together. Sot chalas is a kilaim without grape seeds. And karma, that's one love. Minatar, it's all only in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Loretz, they introduce Kloy HaKerem Midirabon, but they never introduce Kloy Yisroi Midirabon. So there's one prohibition of Chumash, Karma Cholos Yisrokalayim. If you throw seeds from a grapevine together with seeds from vegetables, that's an Isra planting Kloy HaKerem. And if you just throw two different seeds from two different vegetables, they're going to grow near each other. That's Sot Chalos Yisrokalayim. Rashi has a unique opinion. Rashi in Kedushin holds that Kiloi Yisroim is only Midirabon. I, but it's a pasuk in Chumash says Sot Chalos Yisrokalayim. So Rashi says it doesn't mean what it says. It means Karmachol. Taisus disagrees with Rashi. Where did he get that from? Taisus says it's not true. The Yis says Sot Chalos Yisrokalayim. The Gemara says that they only introduce Kiloi HaKerem and Chutz Loretz. Kiloi Yisroim they never introduce in Chutz Loretz. So that's probably what motivated Rashi to say that Kloy Yisroim itself in Eretz Yisrael is only Midirabbanan. So if they can't introduce in Chutz Loretz, it'll be like a Gzeira. But that's not the reason that the Gemara gives. The Gemara says, why did they only introduce Kloy HaKerem in Chutz Loretz? Why didn't they introduce Kloy Yisroim in Chutz Loretz? Well, it doesn't say because Gzeira Gzeira. The Gemara says, because Kloy HaKerem is Mochomor, that even B'rievit it's also Bachilo. If you plant Kloy HaKerem, even if a goy plants Kloy HaKerem, it's also Bachilo, also Bano. But Kloy Yisroim, if you planted it, it's Muta B'rievit. So why does Rashi give his own reason? So Rashi probably interpreted that's what it meant in the Gemara. The Gemara barely meant to say that Kloy Yisroim is only the Rabbanan. The Haraya, the B'rievit, it's Muta. So that shows that it's only also L'chatchel B'rievit, it's Muta. If it would have really been an Issa Deraisa, it would have been like Kloy HaKerem, then it would be an Issa to plant it. Would be also B'rievit, also Bachila Bano, also. That's how Rashi read the Gemara. And Tosfos read the Gemara Kipshuto, not that Gemara is bringing a raya that Kloy Yisroim Gufa and Eretz Yisrael is only Midirabbanan. No, they're both deraisa. There's a pasuk Sot Cholos Yisroel Kalayim, pasuk Karmel Cholos Yisroel Kalayim. But one Isra is Mochomer than the other. Isra Kloy HaKerem is Mochomer than the Isra Kloy Yisroim. So they only introduced the Isra Chomer Chutz Loretz. The Isra Kal they didn't introduce on Chutz Loretz. It's a psadoichik. It's a very different. What do you mean in Isra Kal? You get malchus if you plant it. Why is it an Issa Kal? If you eat chazer, you get malchus. So if you plant kloim, you get malchus. So why is it an Issa Kal? So the Gemara asks on this price. It says, one who plants kloim is loike. And my loike, what does it mean? Ilayim loike achas, you get once a mal malchus, pshita. Of course you get malchus, why not? So lav sheyesh ba maisa. Sod chalas is a kloim, kama chalas is a kloim. The ode, why does it, my kloim kloim? It says, one who plants kloim, kloim. What does it mean? Elabshita loika means he gets tzvei mal malchus. Elabshita shtei malchus. Why? Because he planted tzvei mal klaim. Hazareh klaim klaim. He planted klaim twice. Freg digmor b'mayaskinet. What did he do that he planted klaim twice? What does it mean? Ilema b'zach hazeu b'shtei hasroes. He's about to plant klaim in the ground, and they warn him, "Don't plant klaim. We're going to give you malchus." He says, "I don't care. Give me all the malchus you want." And he plants it. And then he has a fistful, he's going to plant some more kalayim. And they want him again. Don't plant it, we're going to give you a tzveta more malchus. So if it's b'zach hazeh b'shtei hasroes, there was hasro before the first planting, hasro before the second planting. So the Gemara says, so what do you need a braisa to tell me that he's like a shtayim? It's a mishnah. The braisas were to fill in missing information that you don't have in the Mishnahs. This is a famous Mishnah that appears. It's in Makkos and in Nozir. Two different Masechtos. Nozir shows a yain kol hayom. A Nozir, one who accepts Naziris, has three prohibitions. He's not allowed to take a haircut, not allowed to be metamei lemeisim, he's not allowed to eat grapes, and he's not allowed to drink any wine. So the guy is drinking all day long. Shows a yain kol hayom. Enechai balachas. They only give him one Malkus. Omer loy al tishte v'hu shoyse, al tishte v'hu shoyse, chayva kol achas v'yachas. That's the girsa that the Bavli has. The Bavli says, if he's about to drink, there's a machlekes in the Mishnah, no, how much does he have to drink, a revius or a kezayis? So let's say he's about to drink a kos yayin, so they want him, don't drink it, you're a nozer. Now the ring says, I don't care, give me all the malkas you want. He drinks it, then he's about to drink another cup of wine. The Yadim give him hasra, don't drink this, we're going to give you another time malkas. So each time he's about to drink, they give a hasra, Amr al tish tevu shayse, al tish tevu shayse, chai v'kol achas v'yachas. He mentioned last time that the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis quotes a passage from the Yerushalmi that's not like the Bavli. The Yerushalmi has the gears, Amr al tish tevu shayse. If they tell him in advance, he has a whole bottle, they say, this bottle has 10 kizaisim, or 10 revias, whatever the shear is supposed to be. Don't drink the bottle of wine, because we're going to give you 10 times malkas. I don't care, give me all the malkas you want. And he sits and he drinks the whole bottle of wine. So the Yerushalmi that the Rambam quotes in the Pirush HaMishnayis says that they give him 10 times malkas. So that's against the Bavli. The Rambam himself in the Mishnah Torah doesn't quote that Yerushalmi, only in the Pirush HaMishnayis. Every so often the Rambam quotes things, like there's a famous Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis which in the Mishnah Torah doesn't quote. Pirush HaMishnayis he quotes the Yerushalmi also. The lulav nital b'migdosh called Shiva doesn't only min haTorah. We only shake the lulav in America the first day of Sukkot. Lekachtem lechem b'yom harishon. But in the Beis Hamikdash, esmachtem lefnei Hashem lekech m'shivas yomim. You shake the lulav in Esrig all 7 days of Sukkot min haTorah. What do you mean b'migdosh? Lulav nital b'migdosh called Shiva. What's b'migdosh? In the Beis Hamikdash. So the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis quotes a Yerushalmi. All of the old city, the Eir Atika, is called Migdosh, because you can eat Kachim Kalim, you can eat Korban Pesach, you can eat Maaseh Sheni there. So the whole Eir Atika is considered Migdosh. And the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does not quote it. And the Pirush HaMishnayis, he quotes this Yerushalmi. So this one also. The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, the Eir HaNozir, quotes this Yerushalmi, that if they warn them in advance, don't drink the bottle of wine, because there are 10 kezaisim. Going to give you 10 times malchus. So the Yerushalmi interprets that that's included in the Mishnah, you do get 10 times malchus. The Bavli is clearly not so. There was Asra before he's about to drink each kezias of wine, or each levias of wine. Then Chayim Kalachas V'yachas. So the Gemara asks again. They quoted a Brisa. Brisa seems to be adding on something more than what it says in the Mishnahs. Originally they had, historically, they had brises floating all over the place. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi edited the Mishnayos. He decided which texts belong in the Mishnah and what's a bar is on the outside. Excluded. Bar. The bar. So what should be the bar yaisa? That's what Moshe Soloveitcher used to pronounce it. Bar yaisa. A brisa on the outside. So if this brisa would have preceded the days of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, so there's no kasha. What do you need a brisa? It's in the Mishnah. If the brisa preceded the days of the Mishnah, apparently they knew that this was a brisa that was composed after Rabbi Ranasi edited the Mishnahs, then somebody wrote this brisa. So the brisa must be adding something that doesn't say in the Mishnah. Like the Tosefta was edited by Rabbi Raboshe. So the Tosefta is going to have things. They were students of Rabbi Ranasi. So the Tosefta always has things that are not so explicit. It has to start off with the Mishnah, then it elaborates and gives it details that don't appear in the Mishnayos. Gemara tells the story in Tainus, the Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa were both learning in the yeshiva, and they were both poor. They both decided one fine day that they're going to go into business. They're going to leave the yeshiva and go into business. They took along sandwiches on the trip, and then they both walking to the big city to get a big job, to make money. So then they stopped for a while under a bridge, and they're going to eat their sandwich. So Rabbi Yochanan is about to eat a sandwich, and he heard the Malachim talking amongst themselves, we're going to kill these two guys, because they left the yeshiva. They should have stayed in the yeshiva. So Rabbi Yochanan got frightened, and he said, did you hear that? He tells the Yochanan. Said, hear what? He was eating a sandwich, he didn't hear anything. So Rabbi Yochanan understood that it's min hashamayim, that the message was for him, not for Ilfa. So he said, I changed my mind, I'm going back to the yeshiva. Yochanan went back to the yeshiva, and Ilfa went. He didn't hear the message. So the Gemara says, Ilfa went on his way, and he went to the big city, became a big businessman, traveled around the world, made a lot of money, became a millionaire. He came back to the yeshiva. All of a sudden, his chavrusa, Rabbi Yochanan, was appointed Rosh Yeshiva. That was his chavrusa. So he said, I know as much as he knows. We used to learn together. So they said, no, but he learned all the brises in your absence. So Ilfa says, ask me any question in the brisa. I can figure everything out from the Mishnayos. If you understand the Mishnayos well, you don't need the Tosefta's. You don't need all the additional brises. Everything is included in the Mishnayos. So they were testing him, and he knew most of the din. So there were two types of brises. There were brises that preceded the days of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Some of those were incorporated in the Mishnayos, and others were not. But then there were brises that were edited or composed after the Mishnayos were written. The Tosefta Rabbi Raboshe was edited after the Mishnayos, and they're supposed to be adding on something that doesn't appear in the Mishnayos. So that's the Gemara thought that this brisa, as a real klein loika, this brisa was composed, was written after the Mishnayos. So the Gemara says, Tanina, it's an offer to Mishnah. Why do they have to write this brisa? It doesn't tell me anything new. We know that from the Mishnayos. Ela pshita, so it must be that the brisa is telling me some kind of chiddush. Not that is a real klein mizeh hazeh v'shtei hasroes. That's pshita like altishta v'hushoisa, altishta v'shoisa, yilok al kolachas v'yachas. Ela pshita, the brisa must be talking about a case v'bas achas v'hasro achas. So Rashi says he has in his right hand and his left hand. He throws klein over here in this field and a bunch of seeds. He throws in one field, a bunch of seeds, he throws in the other field. And there's only one hasra, and still the brisa means to say that if the brisa means only one smalkas, a pshita, of course you get one smalkas. No, it means a chiddush that you get tvei more malkas. Why should you get tvei more malkas? That's like the fellow drinking two revirs of yayin with only one hasra. El pshita the basachas, a basarachas. And the question is, so why is he loika twice? Mani, whose opinion is it? Whose shita does it correspond to? If you should say it's the Rabbanon, the Pligale, the Simchas, the Tanakam, and the Mishnah, it can't be. Hashta, it should be a Kalvachayma. Madach, in this case, where there's room to argue the point and say that by shechting the grandmother first and the granddaughter, then the middle one, the shechita of the middle one has been starved to two different pairs, so maybe one could argue the point and say that it's similar to Kufa Mechlokin, and still the Chachamim say you don't get Tzvei Mol Malkas. So Kavachaymer, in any other case, certainly. Here there's room to argue and say there should be twice Malkas. And they still hold on, so Hasht is a Kavachaymer. Mahosim, the Kufa Mechlokin, it's similar to Kufa Mechlokin still. Pachi Rabban, and the Rabban say only once Malkas, you don't get Tzvei Mol Malkas. Hochle Koshkin, if he just throws Kilayim in the two hands, the right hand and left hand, at the same time. How can they say you get Tzvei Mol Malkas? Ela lav Simchasi. Masva Araya, that Simchas holds, you always get Tzvei Mol Malkas, even though it's Mamish Bahasra Achas. Simchas doesn't only disagree in our Mishnah because it's like Gufa Machloka. No, he always disagrees. And that Brisa that says, Azareh, climb is Loike, means Loike Shtayim, even though it was covered with one Hasra, it goes according to Simchas. So that's Rabbi Yosef Sarchocha. Abai was a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef, and he asked Rabbi Yosef, what's Pshat in Sumchas? Rabbi Yosef says the answer is Sumchas disagrees with the whole premise. Sumchas holds you get many times Malkas with one Hasra, you get many Chatos, even though it's all the Elam Echad. You multiply how many Malkas there are, how many Chatos, by how many Shiurim are, how many Shiurim are. You don't need Shtei Halomas, you don't need Shtei Hasras. So the Gemara Dingzach with Rabbi Yosef, no, the Yoylam Zag, the Gemara Kemizach Dingit. Rabbanan. The Olam, you can say, Hazaria climb goes Aliba de Tanakama. Doesn't go according to Simchas. And it really means that there was a separate Hasra on that, and a separate Hasra on this. Well, Bilsa, so what is. It's a separate Hasra is an often a Mishnah. Hoyashosa Yain Kola Yain Mein Aloika Lachas. Amr Al Tishta Vushosa Al Tishta Vushosa. Chaiba Kalachas Viachas. So what do you need the Brisa for? So the Gemara in the Musa Gavurcha Kamash Malan, this brisa is adding on something that it doesn't say in the Mishnah. It's adding on Dika Tregavni Kilayim. There are two types of Kilayim, two types of Kloy Haker. La Pukim, the Rabbi Yoshia disagrees with all the other Tanoim. He says, the two Psukim, there's one Pasuk, Sot Chalos Yisra Kilayim, you're not allowed to plant Kloy Yisroim, you're not allowed to throw in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to throw in, let's say, seeds for potatoes and carrots in the same field. have the potatoes growing here, the carrots growing here, you have to have a fence in between, or you have to have a harchok of four amas in between. And if you take the potato seeds and the carrot seeds, you throw them in the ground together, then you like it. If you plant two trees next to each other, that's not kilayim. Two trees together, not kilayim. Unless you graft the branch from one tree onto the other, that's called harkavas ilonis. Harkavas ilonis is an isa deraisa, even a chutz laretz, and even for non-Jews, even though they're only seven mitzvahs b'ninoyach. So the Gemara learns that from the pasuk. This is over and above the seven mitzvahs b'ninoyach. The seven mitzvahs b'ninoyach, when a nochri violates them, the Gemara says azarasam zui misosam. Whenever the nochri violates one of the seven mitzvahs, he gets the death penalty. The Gemara says benoch is nerag if he steals a pachas mishavu puto. Even if he steals less than a shavu puto, but if he violates these additional prohibitions, like he does hakavas ilanas, so that there's no misa for that. Anochi, let's say, observe Shabbos. There's no misa for that. There are several prohibitions that are not included in the Shemitz has been erected at their Isa, but there's no death penalty for that. So the Gemara says this is one of them, Hakavas Ilonis. Hakavas Ilonis, take, he graft a branch from one tree onto another tree. But if you just plant trees next to each other, there's no tzirif at all. You don't have to be marking dalams. You can plant a pear tree next to an apple tree, next to a lemon tree. There's no problem of kilayim. Kilayim is only if you have two vegetables that are planted near each other. So that's what motivates Rabbi Yoshia to come up with this einfall. Grapes, he say, bari pihoitz. Why? Because it's considered a fruit. It's not considered a vegetable. The grapes grow on a vine. That's called bari pihoitz. That's called a tree. So how you have kilay hakerem? You're going to throw potatoes and it's right next to the grapevine. A vine is a tree. You say bar pirates on grapes. And trees are not mitzdarfim with anything else to constitute klein, unless you do hakover. Unless you graft a branch from one onto the other. He's not doing hakover. He's planting potatoes in the same farm, same place where he's planting seeds from the grapes. So that's what Tosis explains. Trees are never mitzdarfim to constitute klein. Each tree is aymed bifnei atzmai. So how do you ever have a violation of karma cholazizik kalayim? So Rabbi Yoshi is of the opinion you have kiloye yizroim if you plant carrots and potatoes in the same form. So that's kiloye yizroim, that's an isa deraisa. And if you throw in grape seeds also, you planted kiloye yizroim in a kerem, that's called kiloye hakerem. It's not kiloye hakerem a vine, a grape seed with a potato seed, a grape seed with a carrot seed. No, that's not a tree. A vine is a tree, and a tree is not mitzdarf with anything else. A tree is aymed bifnei atzma. It's not mitzdarf with anything else to create kalayim. Only alidei harkova. So that's what motivates Rabbi Yoshia to say, "Damer Rabbi Yoshia, at sheiz rechita v'savach hartzma ma'pervas yad." You only get malchus if you violate. How do you violate it? You have to throw three seeds in the ground at the same time. Chita v'soro, that's kaloi Yisroim, and the chartzon is the grape seed. So you planted kaloi Yisroim in a kerem. So if you throw it all by mapolos yad in your hand at one time, then you get malchus for violating karmacholos yizrikilayim. The din is even if a nochri plants the kloy akerem. A nochri is not in suva against planting kloy akerem. It's not from the Shem Mitzvah. He's allowed to plant it. But if he plants it, it'll be asabano. Even if a nochri plants it, it's asabano. But let's say if a Jew plants it in such a way, he's not going to get malchus. He only gets malchus if he throws all three in the ground at the same time. Chita v'sarva chaitzma polos yad. Let's say there are vegetables growing here, the potatoes growing here, the chitim growing here, and then there's a fence, then the sorim growing here, the wheat over here, barley over here, and vines, grapevines over here. And there's a fence separating in between all the three fields. And the person comes and he knocks down all the three fences. So now, there's no harchok kevedal and amas, and there's no fence. So he caused... He didn't plant the kloy hakerem. He didn't plant it. He took down the fence. Now everything is growing berbuvia together. So the din is that it's going to be asabano. He doesn't get malchus because he didn't plant it. Everything was growing on its own. He's not going to get malchus over here. But it'll be asabano anyway. The isano is not a function of having violated the aver. Even if Enochi plants it, it's also going to be asabano.
So a tree is mitzgaret if there are two vegetables already there?
It's not mitzvah. If you have two vegetables, they're chitim nesorim. If you have two vegetables, you already have an isa kloy yisroim. And if you plant kloy yisroim in a kerem, if you have a vine, no other tree. If you have an apple tree, it's not an added problem. But if you have chitim nesorim, you have kloy yisroim, and you have kerem, and you have a vine, then it's called kloy hakerem. Then you get twice malkas for planting it. You get once malkas because you made kloy yisroim. And that's Feta Mo Malkos, because you make Kloy HaKerem. That's what Tyson says. Rabbi Yoshua says, you only get Malkos if you throw all three in together. That's not exactly true. You only get Malkos for Kloy HaKerem if you plant all three together, but if you throw in Chita V'Sarah together, you're also going to get Malkos for the love of Sotchala Sizekilai. And if you plant with the Chartzan, with the seed from the grapes, together with the chit of the sword, then you get twice malchus, because he violated two averus. The Mishnah has a case. Yesh chorish. The Mishnah in the end of Makkos. Yesh chorish telem echod v'chayim ala shmeina malchios. A person does charisha. He plows the ground, and by plowing the farm, he violates eight different averus. So just by plowing, we're going to give him eight times malchus. What are the eight times malchus? So he says, well, there are dead bodies over there, so he happens to be a kohen, and he's also a nazir. So a kohen is not allowed to be mitame l'meisim, and a nazir is not allowed to be mitame l'meisim. And by plowing the ground, it happens to be that it's yontif. You're not allowed to plow the ground on yontif. On Shabbos, you don't get malchus. You get misa, you don't get anything. But there's no malchus for chilul Shabbos, that's yontif. And it's shnas hashmitah. So shmitah, you're not allowed to plow the earth. And what else is it? And it's kikline. He's plowing the earth, and things are growing there. So it's going to get another time. You can get many times malchus if the action that you're doing. See over here, if the nazir is drinking, he's doing the exact same avera 10 times. The bottle has 10 kizaisim or 10 revisim of wine, and he drinks the whole bottle of wine with one hasra. So he repeated the same avera 10 times, and you don't get 10 times malchus. You only get 10 times malchus if each time they warn them, I'll teach the Bushoise. But if they warn him in advance, you're a Nazir, and you're a Kohen, and today's Yontif, and it's Kaloi HaKerem, and it's Kaloi Zorim, and whatever all the rest are, so then he will get 8 times malchus. He will get 10 times malchus.
What's considered a Kerem? meaning with an apple tree, so if I put together two trees and then Shapar, that's okay, right?
Yeah.
An apple and a pear.
That's not a problem.
So what? How far does what's a kerem? How far does it extend? So let's.
I think the Mishnahs have you have to have a fence to separate, or you have to have dalanamis archoke in between.
Oh, so it's not the same as by other trees where even an inch away it's not
right. Uh-huh. Kerem is the one exception to the rule, but whereas this price disagrees with Rabbi Yeshia. This price is of the opinion that if you have in one hand, you throw chita v'chartzen, the other hand you throw sora v'chartzen. So if I throw chita v'chartzen, and they warn me, don't do that, we're going to give you malchus for planting kloy akerem. I say, I don't care, give me all the malchus you want. And then I'm about to throw sora v'chartzen, so they warn me again, don't do that, we're going to give you malchus for that. So that's how the Gemara interpreted the price. Hazaria climb, two different kinds of climb. One is chita v'chartzen, one is sora v'chartzen. He's like a shtayim. What's the chiddush? He gave him two different answers. The chiddush is that it's the loke Rabbi Yoshia. La pukin, according to Rabbi Yoshia, he didn't do an aver the first time, didn't do an aver the second time. Because the chartzen, the grapevine, is a tree, and a tree is not mitzdarif with a vegetable to create climb. Two vegetables together, the two grains, the chita v'sora, combined together if they're close enough. If there's no fence separating and there's no dalaram separating, then the chita v'sora constitute kloy zroim. And if you planted it in a kerem, Then it's also called Kloy Akem. So then you get twice Malkus, because you planted Kloy Zroim, and you planted also Kloy Zroim, and Akerem is Kloy Akem. So that's what the Gemara says, Li'oilam, Rabbi Yosef is wrong. And that Bryce says, Zerea, climb like it doesn't mean. Doesn't mean that it's according to Sumchis, and the Sumchis disagrees, but all the Mishnah is all over the place. No, the Alema goes like the Rabbanim. And the Bryce is saying a simple din that if they gave a Hasra twice, he'll get Tzvei more Malkus. So what do you need the Bryce for? That's famous from the Mishnah, and they apparently knew historically this Bryce was composed after the Mishnah of Rabbi Yonasi. Because according to Rabbi Yonasi, there's only one kind of klein. You have to have chita v'sar v'chartzen. Kamash malon, chizar v'chita v'chartzen. Sar v'chartzen, namim v'chayv, also get malkus. So the Gemara has no raya. Rabbi Yosef thought he had a raya from the Braisa. Then the Gemara just slugged up, they dig zich with the raya. So you don't have any raya. So we're not sure. My time at the Sumchas. Sumchas disagrees with all the Mishnais all over the place. You also get many times malkus and many times chatos, according to how many shurim of averis you did, or maybe only over here. His sheet is unique to this case because it's similar to Guf Machlok. So they're still not sure which pshat is the correct pshat. So the Gemara says, Toshma.
The Sumchas would be getting malchus for each shear. If he drank three kazais or four kazais, is a pshat that he had more of a reason that he was more of a rashi, more of a bad kavana, or it doesn't matter? It's just because it was a simple quantity.
They repeated the same avera three times.
The exact same degree of
amazed. What's the every time he does the avera, he gets malchus. We would agree with Sumchas if there would have been hasra before each cup of wine.
He just, you know, he even a cup of wine. That kavana to drink more or less. Even if he knew it was avera, he didn't have to drink a kavana to drink two kazais of it.
That's according to Sumchas. That's the Shaila. The Sumchas disagree with everything, many times Malkas, many times Chatas, maybe only disagrees here, so we don't know yet. We're not sure which is the correct Shaila. So now the Gemara has a new Shaila. There's a din of Gira Noshen. When Yaakov Avin was fighting with the Malach, so he broke his leg. So in order to remember that story, it's important to remember that story. What's so important to remember that story? It's a little unclear. What are we supposed to remember over here? The Salma Farshim say, we're supposed to remember that we should have done Kibarav. That the old man had to schlep all the luggage by himself. He had all these young children. They should have schlepped, taken the luggage. If they would have been there, this stranger would not have mugged the father, because there was nobody, the young children were not helping him. So the Malach broke his leg. So some of Hashem say, we don't eat Kira Nasha to remember the lesson of Kibur Aviyem, that we violated Kibur Aviyem, and that's why someone came and broke Yankov Avinu's leg. The other of Hashem say, no, many of Hashem say, no, it's to remember the lesson. Who won that battle? That's the question. And the Chumash is not clear who won the battle. But in the Haftarah of Parshas Vayishlach, the Haftarah says that Yankov won the battle. The Malach broke his leg temporarily; he was limping. But basically, Yankov won the battle. So that's supposed to represent the idea that Klal Yisrael survives whenever there's a conflict between Teva and Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael al ha'mayla min ha'teva. Malachim represent Teva. That's how the Gemara has an expression: Ein lecho kalesa v'yesev milamato. Shaila, every blade of grass has a malach melamayla in heaven. Hamake osa v'yomalo gadel. The malach from heaven comes and hits each blade of grass and instructs it that it should grow. So the malachim represent Teva, and Yaakov Avinu represents Klal Yisrael. So Yaakov Avinu won the fight against the malach, means that the Jews survive with Nisim. The Jews always survive through many people. 6 million Jews lost their lives. Many people lost their lives, but Klal Yisrael as a whole survives. That's a big miracle. Klal Yisrael survives. Mark Twain has a famous essay about that. He doesn't understand how come the Greeks disappeared, and the Egyptians disappeared, and the Romans, every civilization disappeared, and the Jews should have disappeared a long time ago, and he doesn't understand the Jews are still around. So that's the lesson of the we don't need the Giran Noshe to remember this klal. The klal is always l'mana menateva. So there's a machloikas hatanoim. Okay, lechem nesos gid hanoshe asher al kaf hayorech. Hayorech with the hey hayidia means the yerech ham yumenis, the special leg. So it only applies to the right leg. Or you say no, gid hanoshe zaser. An animal goes on all four. So the two front legs are called hands, as if the animal would be standing on the back legs. So the two back legs are called legs, two front legs are called yadayim. Like if we would walk on all four, so we would have four legs, but the front two are the hands and the back two are the legs. So the gid anosha is on the back legs. Is it knowing in both back legs, or is it only knowing in one of the two back legs? So that's a machlekes hatanoim. So the Gemara quotes Toshma, a Mishnah from later. Ochel mizek hazayis, umizek hazayis, yedik hazayis from the right gid anosha from the right leg, and a kezayis from the gidanoshe from the left leg. Saifik shmanim gets tvei mol malkis, because he violates the gidanoshe applies to the right leg and to the left leg. Biroimer and saifik yadarboim. He only gets once malkis. Gemara later discusses, Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah that the seichel dictates that it's the right leg and not the left leg. So Gemara is not sure whether it's a gzeris akosuf or it's a svara. What did Rabbi Yehuda mean to say? Gemara finally comes to the conclusion it's a gzeris akosuf, that it's a pasuk like that. So the Gemara quotes this machlokes. So the Tanakam says if yidik zayis from the right leg, zayis from the left leg, gets fame on man, Rabbi Yehuda says once malchus. So the Gemara wants to know hechidami. What's the case that he gets tzvei mol malchus? He leima bezeh chazeh b'shtei hasroes. First the Gemara, he leima bezeh chazeh. He ate first. He ate one gidal nasha, and then he's about to eat the second one. So he gave hasro on the second one. So if the two different hasroes bezeh chazeh, that's why the Tanakhama says he gets tzvei mol malchus. Like the Nazir who shows the yain ramal al tishta, shows the yain ramal al tishta. Each time they want him to get many times malchus. So the Gemara says, "My time in the Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you get once malchus? But Rabbi Yehuda says himself he's not sure whether it's only the right leg or the left leg. So shouldn't it be each time when he gave masra? So he ate the giranasha from the right leg and from the left leg. He ate both." But he gave the separate hasra on this one, separate hasra on that one. It wasn't tokede achilas pras. Rashi says later, if he ate both tokede achilas pras, then it's bevasachas, then it's not called bezachazet. So he ate with a long pause of 10 minutes in between, a big pause in between. So my time in the Rabbi Yehuda, hasra safiku, shamin le Rabbi Yehuda dam, hasra safik lova shema hasra. There is a machlekes hatanoim, and there is a machlekes of Yechon Mishlokish, which opinion in Tanoim to accept. And we know the Rebbe Yehuda, the Tana Rebbe Yehuda is of the opinion Asra Safik is not a good Asra, both for Malkus and for Misa. The Gemara puts it together. There's a problematic Rambam. The Rambam in one place writes Asra Safik Lav Shema Asra, in another place he writes Asra Safik Shema Asra. It's a steer in the Rambam. So in the Shalas and Shuvas of the Nodi Yehuda, every so often there's a Shuvah written by the son of the Rebbe Yehuda, of the Nodi Yehuda. Reb Shmuel Landau, he has a separate sefer called Shalosh Tshuva Shiva Sion. Sometimes it's called Nadi Behuda Chele Gimel, but it's really a separate name, Shiva Sion. And then every so often, once every 100 pages or so, there's a Shtikl Torah by the Nadi Behuda, son-in-law. So in the middle of the Nadi Behuda, there's a Shtikl Torah by son-in-law. The teretz on the Rambam is that the Rambam splits between Asra Sofik by Misa and Asra Sofik by Malkus. That Asra Sofik by Misa Lav Shmei Asra. And by Malkus Asra Safik Ishma Asra. So that teretz is very difficult. It's against the Babli, it's against the Rishonim, it's against all the Gemaras. Whenever the Gemara talks about Asra Safik, Gemara equates the two. Einon Shmon came Asirin. You have to have a violation of a Lois Esse, both for Malkus and for Misa. and you have to have hasra by both. And the machlekes is by the hasra suffix shmasra is the machlekes by both. You can't distinguish between the two. The Rambam that he came to answer is a shayla Rambam anyway. To say it doesn't read straight. The Rambam is problematic. The Rambam Hilchos Shvuos, a very strange Rambam. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara here is assuming Rabbi Yehuda is mesupik, whether Gidanosha applies to the right leg or to the left leg. So if they gave a set, he ate, they gave him Hasro, don't eat the Gidanosha from the right leg, then an hour later they give him Hasro, don't eat the Gidanosha from the left leg. Each one was a Hasro Sofik. So Rabbi Yehuda holds Hasro Sofik, Lav Shema Hasro. So why does he even get once Malkus? He didn't get Malkus at all. How do you know that Rabbi Yehuda holds Hasro Sofik, Lav Shema Hasro? The Tanya, there's another price. This price is talking about a situation. There's a din that a woman is not allowed to remarry within 3 months of the death of her husband or within 3 months of her getting divorced. Why? Because if she's a younger woman, she may have a baby soon after marrying the second husband, and we won't know. Now we have DNA, we have blood types, we know how to tell who's the father. But in the days of the Tanoim, sometimes he's a spitting image of this husband, so you know that that's the father. But sometimes you can't tell who's the father. So it's a din min derabbanan. It's not a din min haTorah. That's called havchana. K'dei lehavchen min zavah shel rishon, zavah shel sheni. So you have to wait 92 days, 90 days, 90 full days, aside from the day on which the husband died, and aside from the day on which she remarries. You have to have 90 full days in between in order to know. And even if the woman is 95 years old and she's not going to have another baby, and even if she left her husband 10 years before the husband died, and even the husband is sitting in prison for the last 10 years, and even if they never had Shalom Bayis, and even if Eliyahu Navi comes, and he says, the Gemara says, even if Eliyahu Navi comes, and he says that the woman is not pregnant, it's a loy plug Rabbanon, under all conditions, she's not allowed to remarry. So that's a dim of the Rabbanon. So what happens if the woman violated the dim of the Rabbanon, she got married within 3 months, and she has a baby? We don't know. Is this the father of the baby's husband number one or husband number two? The my nafkamina, the din is hamaka of ima is chayim misa, a mekala of ima is chayim misa. So what if he goes there? It's the first husband, so that's a suffix, but he's chayim misa. Then he hits the second husband. He goes there v'chazav, he goes there kilo zeh v'chazav kilo zeh. He curses the first husband, then he curses the second husband. You don't know each time. It's asra suffix. Then he do the aver. At the end of the day, you sure he did Maka Avivima, Mikal Avivima. It's only a toss up, is it the first husband or the second husband? There's no third person involved. So the Mishnah has this, the Brisa has this Tosefta. The Brisa has this Machlag, he hits the first husband, then the second husband. Kil Zeb Chazav, Kil Zeb. He curses the first and the second one. Curses both of them together, hits both of them together. Sechayiv Tanakam holds that Yechayiv Misa, because Tanakam holds Hasra Sofik Shmo Hasra. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. He holds no. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, the Vasach is Chayiv Zech Hazeh Potter. If he curses both simultaneously, hits both of them at the same time, then Bevadai they gave him Hasra. Bevadai he did the Aver. But if it's Bezach Hazeh, then each time was Hasra Sofik. So Rabbi Yehuda holds Hasra Sofik, Lav Shema Hasra. So going back again, they were asking, they thought at this point, the Gemara later is going to back out from that. The Gemara is going to say, not true. Rabbi Yehuda came to the Maskana. In the Mishnah, they quoted half of this story of Rabbi Yehuda. In Perigid Anosha later. The Rabbi Yehuda says he's not sure whether the right leg or the left leg. He's not sure. So now the Gemara is working on the assumption. Rabbi Yehuda is not sure. So if the Brisa means Ochal kezayis, ochal mizek kezayis, and mizek kezayis, he ate a kezayis from the right leg in Anosha, from the left leg in Anosha, and it was bezdach hazeh with two different hasrois. It wasn't tuk de achilas pras. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say you look at once? Tanakam holds you look at twice because gin Anosha is noik, they be min be mismol. How can Rabbi Yehuda say that you get malchus at all? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds the hasrois sofik. Lav shmaso shouldn't get malchus at all. Elipshita. The only time Rabbi Yehuda will say that you get once malchus is b'vasachas b'asra achas. He's about to eat. He has the both kin anoshim in the right leg and the left leg, and they want him. Don't eat it. We're going to give you malchus. So the Rambam says you get Tzvei more Malkus. Tzvei more Malkus, there's only one Hasroah. And he gives, so you see the Tarakama must be this Sumchus. You see that there is such a Shita. So they're pinning the blame on Sumchus now. They say the Tarakama over there, and that Tosefta must be Sumchus. Uman Tarakama, who is the opinion? Who says that you get Tzvei more Malkus? He lay more Rabbanon. If you're going to say, because like the Chachamim and our Mishnah, the Pligia lay the Sumchus, they disagree with Sumchus. So it should be a Kavachayma. Madach over here that it looks like Gufa Machlokin, Yishech, the middle generation. First Yishech, the mother. Then Yishech, the granddaughter. Then Yishech, the middle generation. And it looks like Gufa Machlokin, and still they all, you only get one once Malkus. Mahasim, the Gufa Machlokin, Patri Rabbanan. They say there's only once Malkus. You don't get Tzvei more Malkus. Hochala Koshkein. Here it doesn't even look like Gufa Machlokin at all. Just repeated the same Avera twice. So the Tanakama must be able to have Sumchasi. See, he goes like Sumchas. You see that Sumchas, you see Rabbi Yosef is right. Sumchas disagrees with everything that we used to thinking. He holds that you get many times Malkus, even though there's only one Hasra in the beginning. And who the Nami, there would be many Chiyuve Chatos, even though all the Averis were B'shegig the Helem Echad. So the Gemara says again, lo, not necessarily Mukhrach. You have not proved the point. We're still not convinced that that Sumchas really disagrees with all the Kalalim and Chasli. The Yolim, you can say, yet the first get on Asha now, and allow an hour later he eats the second get Asha. I say, how does Rabbi Yudah say that there's even Malkus at all? The Gemara is working on the assumption Rabbi Yudah is not sure whether the right leg or the left leg. And Rabbi Yudah, we know, holds Asra Savik Lav Shema Asra. And Gemara says, no, there are two versions of what Rabbi Yudah holds. That Brisa, that Tosefta and Yevamos, goes with the version of Rabbi Yudah. The High Tana Savalok Kirach Tana the Rabbi Yudah. This Tosefta goes with the version that Rabbi Yudah holds that Asra Savik Ishma Asra. How do you know? The Tanya. So the Gemara quotes the Din by Korban Pesach. It says in Parshas Bo, Das is Sir Man Adbeker, and this Man Adbeker Beish Tisrof. Not allowed to leave over the Korban Pesach till the morning, and if you did, then you have to burn it. So the first Tana says, Rabbi Yudah says, but on the top line of Pegim, it's a lav hanita glase. If you violated the Avera of Loisesiru, then the Torah says, be Mesakan Avera, undo it by burning it. So that's why you're ain't a loike. Lo Mashain loike Malad. You don't get, we paskin all three reasons. You're not loike because lav shema maise, you're not loike because it's Asra Safik, and you're not loike because it's a lav hanita glase. But in the Tanoim, it's a machloikis. What's the reason? We accept all the three reasons. So this price, of course, the Rabbi Yudah holds, you're not like it because lama nitekles. Rabbi Yankov Emeloy Men Hashem, who's that? I agree with your din, but that's not the reason. The reason is not what you said, because lama nitekles, he holds lama nitekles, maybe is like it. Maybe it's not a lama nitekles. Shouldn't have a lav shame, but maise, chalav shame and maise, and like him alone. So the Gemara says, Lioilam, Rabbi Yudah holds taka, it's a suffix. Whether the right leg or the left leg. I said, if he ate bizach hazeh, an hour apart. So why did Rabbi Yudah say there's even one Malkus? Shouldn't be Malkus at all? The answer is that Tosefta is going with this version of Rabbi Yudah that he holds that Asra Safik Ishma Asra. Maybe we'll finish the Gemara, let's see. Toshmasa, we still don't know whether Sumchas disagrees in everything. He holds he to get many times Malkus and many times Chatas. Even they just repeated the same Avera, or it's a unique sheet over here because it's like Gufa Machlok. The one says, Toshma, they have another Tosefta. Ochal Shnei Gidin Mishtei Yereches Mishtei Behemes Seifek Shmeinim. He ate the two Giranoshes. What do you mean? Mishtei Behemes? What's the significance? Both from the right leg. Both from the right leg. Any one animal only has one right leg. So that's why the Tosefta says he ate the Giranoshe from two different animals, both right legs. So you get Tzvei Mal Malkus. Rabbi Yudah disagrees and he says, you only get once Malkus. How come get Malkus at all? So that's what Rashi says over here. The Gemara on base, it was working with the assumption that Rabbi Yudah is not sure whether the right leg or the left leg. Now the Gemara has already come to the realization, the Yehuda holds that it's the right leg. It's a vados. It's not a svar, it's a pos. It's the right leg. So the Gemara wants to know, what's bashteite machlokes? What are they fighting about? Hechidami. What's the case where they're disagreeing? Where they get twice malchus or once malchus? If you're going to say pshat is bezach hazeh, u'bishtei hasroes, then it's like al tishta al tishta, the nose are drinking. Every time you give another hasroes, on my time, the Rabbi Yehuda Amar, boy, mesulo, you should also agree that you get tzvei mal malchus. If he already holds that the right leg is a vado, it's not a sofi. El pshita, u'basachas, u'bechoda hasro, means they want him. You have two gin anoshes here. Don't eat it. You're going to get tzvei more malchus. He says, I don't care. And they didn't give him a hasra before the second achila. They gave one hasra before he did the both achilas. So that's the machlokes hatanoim. Uman Tanakam, and why does the Tanakam say you get tzvei more malchus? If you go like the Rabbanan, it can't be. Marech the Rabbanan is a kabachem. Marech the Chacham hold in the Mishnah. When you check the middle generation, it's been started with the first, with the mother and with the vlad. And she really be considered like Gufa Machlokin, and they say not so. So certainly if you just repeat the same Aver, it's Tzvei Mol. You certainly you should not get Tzvei Mol Malchus. Umahosam by our case, by Yosef Ezbeno, that it's like Gufa Machlokin, still Pachvi Rabbonin. They say they don't get more than one Malchus. Achal Mekoshka is just repeating the Zelba Aver. Ela Lav Simchasi. So you see that Tanakam is Sumchus, and you see Sumchus B'Shem Rab Meir, and that would make sense. Machlokes HaMeir Rab Yehuda, okay. You often have Machlokes HaMeir Rab Yehuda. So you see that Rab Yosef is right, that Sumchus disagrees with all the basic premises. You hold again many times Malkus, many times Chatos, if you repeat the same other. So Rab Yosef is right. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe they gave him two different hasras. He ate the two gilanoshes an hour after each other. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say he gets tzvei mal malchus udiko amrit? By time of the Rabbi Yehuda, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say tzvei mal malchus? Why is only once malchus? The answer is kagon, the lespik kazais. One of the two gilanoshes didn't have a kazais. One of them had a kazais, one didn't have a kazais. So what's taka the din? So the din is that you only get malchus for eating tray for food if you eat a kazais, unless it's a barrier. So let's say you swallow an ant. So an ant, a bug, that's a tray for bug. So that's less than a kazais. Tiny little ant is less than a kazais, but that's a barrier. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. Do you treat giranosha like a barrier? It's not all priest and shama. Giranosha is a separate entity, but it's not like an ant, not like a little bug. But that's the machlokes, the leis, because I wanted the two giranoshas didn't have a kazais. The Tanya Achola Veimok Kazayis. He ate all Ginanoshe, but it didn't have a Kazayis. Tanakam holds Chayre. But how much he ate all Kazayis? That's a Machlokes. They treat a Ginanoshe like a barrier or not. If it's a barrier, then they don't need a Kazayis. So comes on the Maskana. We still don't know. Well, yeah, we don't know the answer. We don't know whether Tzumchus disagrees with everything. All the Mishnayis increases, and all the Mishnayis are Makas. Or no, he only disagrees over here because it's like Gufa Machlokes. This week's Sedra. Rav Soloveitchik once said over a comment from the Malbim, and then he elaborated upon it a little bit when they hurled Yosef was away from the father all the 17 years that Yaakov Avinu lived in Egypt. Yosef was in the capital running, he was in the White House running the country. Yaakov Avinu was in Goshen, and they didn't have telephones, so he didn't know that the father was sick, didn't know whether it was coming to the end. So they gave him a message, so they all ran to see the grandfather. So apparently, they all ran to the grandfather. They were in the middle of doing their work. He had his children were in the cabinet also. Menashe and Ephraim were also helping him out there, running the government there. So they all came with their office uniforms. So Yaakov Avinu looks at them, he said, Miela. What does he say? But Yom Miela, who are these? They look like goyim. They don't look good. He was used to Eretz Yisrael, may assure him. He got with a long black kapata, with a black hat, everything. He dressed differently. But Yom Yosef, no, Bonahem, Shinas, and Lil Kimba says, no, that Yirei Shemayim, the Medakter Kimei Mitzvahs, they live in Egypt, they run the government, so they have to dress like this. That's what the Malbim says. The Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. The Rav Soloveitchik had his whole explanation why he switched from the Aguda to the Mizrahi. For many years his family was connected with the Aguda, and then he switched to the Mizrahi. So he said, Abder Chadrash, he said that when Yosef had the Chaloimus, so one Chaloim was that he's going to be all the sun, the moon, and the stars are all bowing down to him. Okay, then he had the other dream. What does it mean? He has a vision of an agricultural society. So the brothers said it doesn't correspond to reality, because they were roi tzon. They weren't in agriculture. They were in cattle. So Yosef says, no, but I foresee in the future. He understood that this is a psanevua. And the Gemara says, achalam zechem yishishim benevua. It's a mix of nevua that they're gonna move to a different country. There's going to be a different way of parnosa. It's going to be a different style. We're not going to always be roi tzon, hoya avadecha, in the reign of Arota. We're going to have to go into a different field of agriculture. That's the end of the story. Was that's what happened when they came to Egypt. So there were the seven good years and the seven bad years, and he had to learn a whole new malacha of agriculture, how to save all of the food and store it in such a way it shouldn't get ruined, shouldn't get rotten, and he's going to keep the whole Middle East alive with the food that he's going to store away. The Rav Soloveitchik said he felt that the Aguda thought before the war the whole world is going to continue the way it was going for so many years in Europe. And it's just not so. It's a whole different world now. The world keeps on changing. So he thought that at the time that Rav Soloveitchik said that Russia, so the Aguda only had Rabbanim and Talmid Chacham. And the Mizrahi had doctors and lawyers and engineers and people who were Shomrei Mitzvahs and with a new style. Now the Aguda is run by doctors and lawyers and engineers. But at that time there were no doctors, no lawyers in the Aguda. That was what the Mizrahi was all about. A lot of the positions at that time, the Aguda, in the early years of the Medina, the Aguda held you not allowed to join the coalition government, because the government does a lot of things shaloi kedin. And Rav Soloveitchik always said by the Mizrahi conventions they should continue to join the coalition government. At least you make atzala purta. See, after many years Rav Shach Paskin for the Aguda the same thing, that they should join the government. So I remember at that time Rav Moshe Sternbuch was a young man and he attacked Rav Shach. What do you mean? But the Gedolim from the earlier generation said it's all right, well, you're not allowed to join the coalition government. So Rav Shach felt very uncomfortable. He was much older than Rav Moshe Sternbuch. Now Rav Moshe Sternbuch is an old man, but at that time he was a young whippersnapper. So Rav Shach felt very uncomfortable. He has to go for emphasis for Rav Moshe Sternbuch, a young fellow. So he wrote a personal letter, supposedly, to Rav Shnia Kotler, who was part of the family. So Rav Shach wrote a personal letter, and he asked that the letter be hung up in all the yeshivas. The man was hanging in YU also. It was clearly his handwriting. Rav Shach had unique handwriting. Whenever a sefer has askama from Rav Shach, that's always his unique handwriting. So he wrote in the letter, we have kibalna mirav seino, we have a tradition that whenever you're faced with a dilemma, whatever you got to do is no good. You have to be bochad and be a Torah. You have to choose the lesser of the two evils. So he said, if you have a choice, either you join the coalition government and you get a little bit accomplished, or you don't join the government, you get nothing accomplished. So it's better to join the government, the better. You don't always say, Shev al tasarif. You don't always say in every situation of a dilemma that both Malachim are no good. So you act, you should act the Shev al tas. The Gemara in Erev and Davkuf says sometimes that's the Machriya, but not always. Sometimes if it's clear that one side is the lesser of the two evils, so you choose that side. So later, that's what the Aguda also finally adopted that position. All the positions that the Mizrahi had from day number one, after the years went by, they had the doctors and the lawyers and the engineers and joining the coalition government. So the Aguda adopted all of those positions. But in the early years, that's what Rav Soloveitchik was saying. So he said, we have to be like Yosef. Yosef had a chalom about ma'amim malumim. Do we live in a different world? And you have to act differently. If the din haTorah don't change, you can be a Yirei Shamayim and a Medaktik Ben Mitzvus and wear these kind of garden. This, but you don't have to be Dafke Asarifa Stam or Malamed, that's the only parnasa he can have. He can do other parnasas also. So he said that's the idea that the Malbim is saying over here. The Yaakov Avinu thought, Miele, they don't look like Jewish boys. Yosef Atzarik tells him, I live in Egypt, and that's what they do for a living. They work for the government. So they have to wear these uniforms. There's nothing wrong. There's no shatnas, and anything that has four corners has tzitzis. They're medaktik and all the mitzvahs. If you live in a different country, you have to figure out, you have to translate the practices that we had in the old country. How do they translate into the new country? A lot of times you do exactly the same as you did in the old country. It's not exactly the same. It's going to be different. You have to figure out what's considered a hemshech. The clothing is not always going to be the same. The parnosa is not always going to be the same. But the Torah remains the same. Amen.
Thank you very much.
I heard that Rabbi Yaakov said something. He said, Rod, the Mustiyut Mashalovim. So he said, Yaakov, the open. He said he saw that Yaakov was right. If he would have gone with a shramel and a kapota, she would never have bothered him.
Rabbi, the 90 day period, does that apply to a miyabim, to an ach?
Also has to wait 90 days. There it's a real din d'oraisa. Because she may be pregnant from the first husband.
Yeah, yeah.
And she may have a baby, then he's not allowed to be miyabim her. That's a real din d'oraisa. It would be an issa koris. If he's miyabim his sister in law, and she had a baby, she was only pregnant, that would be a real issa d'oraisa. Yeah. But in my regular woman, it didn't apply.
In the situation of Rav,
I'll say. Yeah. So, we. Yeah.